Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Well, good morning, everybody. How are you all doing this morning? Good? Good? You guys tired yet? No? Good answer. Good answer. It's camp. You can't be tired, at least not on Wednesday. That's what Saturday's for. Happy Wednesday. Hump day. So, I'm going to start out this morning with a question. Let's say, you go back home, it's summer break, you have a day where you have nothing going on. You can choose whatever you want, it's just all up to you. You get to go pick what you want to do for the whole day. What are some of the things that you guys are going to do? Swim, Fortnite. Oh, yeah. Shopping. Oh, nice. Any particular store? Shopping? Any store particular or just in general? Just what? Gucci? Louis Vuitton? Can you afford anything at those stores? Neither can I. I can't. With an unlimited budget. Nice. Well, so I was thinking about this question, and, you know, one of the things that I've started enjoying recently, now I'm going to warn you right now, this is kind of an old man thing, but I promise it's, well, it's not that cool. I would go golf. I love golf. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to know there's a few other people who enjoy golf too. But it's like get a couple friends together, go out, you get to be outside in just kind of nature, but man-made nature. It's outside, you're in the sun with a group of friends, playing a nice sport, and also you get a lot of time to talk. It's just, that's what I would choose. It's just so much fun. I have another question, which is, how many of you have to do chores at home? Help out around the house? Oh, yeah. So growing up, my siblings and I were the workforce of the house. My mom was in charge. She would do so much for the house, but then we would all have our role to play. And so we would sweep the floors, and we would clean bathrooms. My brother and I would do a lot of yard work with my dad, so we would mow, weed in the flower beds, all that good stuff. So how many of you, with your day off, where you can do whatever you want, would be like, I want to do some chores? That sounds like a lot of fun. There may be a couple people who genuinely find some of those activities fun. That would not be what I'd choose. Like, and if I had to guess, I would say that most of us, before we would go out and do what we wanted on that day, wouldn't stop by our parents, like, hey, I'm about to go do something, but are there any chores that I can do before I leave? I've never once asked my parents that before I was about to go do something. Because it's a hard thing to give up our time and energy. Like, it is a hard thing to do. Yet, Christians are called to serve others as Christ did throughout his life. And so today we're going to be reading out of John. So if you'll open your Bibles with me to John chapter 13, we're going to be talking about Jesus as the serving king. The serving king. So we're going to be John 13, starting in verse 1. Give you guys a second to turn there. Now, this is a story that you might have heard before. It's pretty popular. And before we read through it, I'm just going to give a little note that there is a lot to talk about in this passage. And this morning, we won't be able to get to all of it, but good news, that's what your discussion groups are for. So if there are things that I'm not able to go into detail in up here in this passage, your cabin leaders are great people to ask, your assistant cabin leaders, any of the program office, or each other. So with that, John 13, starting in verse 1, it says,
It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," Peter said, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked. He asked them, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So does anybody think this is kind of a strange passage to be talking about this week? This whole week we've been talking about Jesus as king. And the first night we talked about what we typically think of when we think of a king. Think of someone with power. And when we think of someone with power, we think of people serving them. And so it's kind of strange to think that maybe the greatest man, the greatest king to ever live, would get down and wash his disciples' feet. Now, for context, this was not a fun job. Like, nobody wanted to do this. Because back in the day, most of the people in this time and area wore sandals, so they had their feet open to the environment. And the environment was very hot, very dusty. And so their feet would get super, super dirty just by walking through town. And there was also not the consistent bathing habits as we had today. And so while I hope all of you are showering every day to stay clean, that's a good thing to do, that was not the practice in this time and area of the world. And so this was the job of a servant, that when guests would come over to a master's house, the servant would wash the feet so that they wouldn't get the rest of the house dirty. And frankly, it probably helped with the smell too. But no one of any importance would ever do this job. Yet, here we see King Jesus getting down on his hands and knees and washing the feet of his disciples. Now, if you look around, I've already said this is not what people in power typically do. We can look around the world today at all the different kind of people who hold a position of importance or power, have some sort of wealth. This may not be 100% true, but I would guess that the vast majority of them got their wealth or got their power by focusing on themselves, by working for themselves. And they probably keep or even increase that wealth and power by convincing other people to work for them. I mean, that's exactly what happened with kings. He would have servants who would help him, and so he was able to focus on the kingdom. Today in America especially, the world loves to teach the importance of independence, that no one can tell you what to do, that you're the most important person in your life. But Jesus makes that clear that that is completely backwards. We see here that, as we just read, that he was putting others' needs before himself, taking on a position of humility before them. And he says it again, if you'll flip with me to Mark, in Mark 10, verses 42 through 45, Mark says, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many."
So this is completely different than the culture of the world back then and today. This is Jesus. This is the King of everything. Yet he is telling us that even he came not to be served, but to serve others. He explains that those of us who want to be great must serve. And those of us who want to be first must be a slave to all, to serve everybody. Because like we read in John just a second ago, that no servant is greater than their master. So if you're a Christian, if you call Jesus your king, you're calling him your master. And so that means you as a citizen of his kingdom are not greater than him. He is the greatest. Yet if he's the greatest and even he came down to serve others, how much more should we serve others? There is no one who can come close to God. No one who can come close to Jesus or even compare. And then we see this described again a little differently in Philippians, where Paul, in chapter 2, talks about Jesus, where he says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." That is an incredible picture of strength. To have the humility to obey a command that we don't want to do takes strength. And Jesus demonstrated that perfectly. He, God, fully God, also fully man, as we talked about with him being incarnate, came down to earth to live among sinners. Even though he was perfect, he was holy, he came down to live among sinners. He came down to teach those who wouldn't listen to him. He came to serve those who were below him, who weren't as great as him. And he came to die for those who hated him. Jesus was not killed, though. He willingly gave up his life. He gave it up in obedience because he knew that was what God's plan was. As much as I struggle to obey people, as much as it might be hard to obey your parents when they say you need to do this or that, I have never once been given a command nearly as hard as this. No one has ever asked me to give up my life for them. Yet this is what Jesus was commanded by his own Father. He didn't deserve it. He didn't. As we've talked about, he is holy. He is perfect. He is sinless. He did not deserve death. Yet he knew that it was the Father's plan to save us. And so he remained obedient to that plan for our sake, because there was nothing we could do to save ourselves. And he didn't just save those who followed him. Like, the cross wasn't just for his disciples. It wasn't just for those who believed in him, but it was for even his enemies. So if we'll go back one more time to John 13, I want to point out one more thing. If we were to keep reading after 13, we stopped in verse 17. If we were to keep reading, we would see Judas, who was mentioned earlier, get up from the table and go turn Jesus in to the Jews, knowing full well that the Jews, once they captured Jesus, fully intended to kill him. And he did it for just a little bit of money. And yet, Jesus, knowing this, he says that he knew who was going to betray him.
And he demonstrates this directly after the passage we read by giving the bread to him, demonstrating he knew that Judas was going to betray him. Knowing this, Jesus still gets down on his hands and knees and washes his feet. He took his dirty, smelly feet into his hands, washed them, dried them in a position of vulnerability before him. Now, who in your life is someone who may be difficult to love? Maybe it's someone at school who doesn't have as many friends, who if you took time out of your day to spend with them, it would cost you something. It would cost you time with your friends that you already have. Or maybe it would cost you the judgment that they would give for you spending time with this person. Or maybe you have a real enemy. Maybe you have someone who really doesn't like you, who's straight up just mean to you. It's more than just not getting along, but it's conflict all the time. Those are the people that Jesus is telling us that we need to serve. Not just those that we love, but those who are against us. And he set this example for us, as we see. And so I want to encourage you that as you continue through this week, as you continue through this day, to think, how do you live your life? Who's at the center of your life? Are you worried about serving yourself? Are you worried about what you need to do, what will make you happy, your own needs? Is that the most important thing in your life? Or are you concerned about the needs of others? And then I want you to also consider, who are those people in your life that you need to show the love of Christ to? Write down some names if they come to your mind. Look for opportunities as you go home, as you see them, where you can serve them, and through that, show them the love of Christ. And then pray that God would give you the opportunity to do that, that he would give you the strength and the humility to put others' needs before your own. This is not something we can do on our own. Every single one of us is selfish because we all have sin. This is something that we need Jesus every single day in order to do. We need his strength, we need his humility, and we need his kindness in order to show this love to others.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.